you are not pizza. Like, literally, you cannot make everyone happy. Stay in your own lane, create what's true to yourself, and, you know, focus on making yourself happy first, and, you know, eventually that'll attract other people.
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinnock.
I'm so excited to have on the show this week, Scotty Russell. Knowing this guy a little while now, and we kind of got connected through his awesome talk and his the content he created out of it. And he's just been, he kind of gave me the consent and the approval that I was on the right track with some of the stuff that was swirling in my head in the beginning. So welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show, Scotty Russell.
What's going on, Daryl? I'm so stoked to be here, man.
Hey,
appreciate
man,
you having me.
It's a pleasure, man. It's a pleasure. I know we've been at this trying to get this interview going for a little while now, but, you know, time conflicts.
It's been a busy summer. You and me both do the day job, and yeah, I feel you. So I appreciate you working with me on my time schedule.
Hey, not a problem, man. I understand. So let's kick it off. How did Scotty get into design? What were you doing before this whole journey started?
Man, I can remember drawing, like, back to kindergarten before, like, I remember picking up a crayon, and I drew this sweet dragon with, like, neon crayons, and that was the day I was like, oh my god, I love drawing. My mom always kind of pumped me up behind that, but I didn't really share it my whole life. You know, I kind of kept it to myself. I got bullied and picked on, and I didn't want to give people another reason to, like, make fun of me, so I always drew my whole life. And I always had an art teacher telling my mom, like, this kid's going to make money someday. And my mom told me this literally every day or every year, and I never believed it. And, you know, about the time I graduated college with that degree that said I was an artist, you know, I went into the real world, still couldn't get a job for, like, 3 years, but was just creating on the side and doing a side hustle of a t-shirt company. I was still drawing, doing tattoos, you know, just experimenting all over the place, and it never felt like art was going anywhere. 3 years later, I finally landed my first graphic design job, and, like, something in me just switched that day when I got the opportunity, and, you know, I just became obsessed. So graphic design was the focus, working in the digital world, branding, print, logos, and then I discovered hand lettering about 4 years ago, became obsessed with that and started blending that in with my style of illustrations. And now I do web design at the day job and lead graphic design, lead web design. And then I come home and draw, do illustrations. And, you know, it's just been a crazy, crazy road. You know, so many unexpected things.
Awesome, man. I mean, yeah, it sounds like a pretty creative journey. So how did Perspective Collective come about? Like, how did you even think about that name to put that as the focus name, Perspective Collective?
Yeah, that's another random one too. So I started this about 3 years ago, March, April-ish, 2013. And it was like right when I was looking for a new job, I kind of hit the ceiling at my last one and it was kind of becoming toxic there. And I landed the job where I'm currently at. And at the same time, me and my partner, my business partner, we had a company called Daydream and Clothing. We've been doing t-shirt and clothing company designs for like 4 years. And we had an investor lined up. We had our warehouse lined up, and shares and greed kind of took over and split us apart. And I needed the name to, like, kick out my own work under, because, you know, it wasn't fitting with the Daydreaming style. It wasn't, you know, I didn't want to operate under the name Scotty Russell Graphics, because to me that sounded pretty lame. And I started putting words together. I've always been a big fan of, like, drawing in perspective, you know, extrusions, 1 point, 2 point, 3 point. And I like, and I've had some really up and down experiences in my life. So having perspective and seeing where other people come from and not just, like, being narrow minded was always important to me too. And, you know, it kind of just started off like, this is a collective of drawings. So perspective and collective rhymed. I had Perspection Collection too. I had a whole list of things, man. It took me like 2 months to settle on a name, and finally I settled on it, and it took me like another month to even gain the courage to put it out there. But ever since, I mean, I've just been owning it. I love it. And, you know, it's not who I am as a person, but it's my identity as a creative, I would say.
Awesome. You know, because I just thought, like, oh man, Perspective Collective. I wonder how he came up with that thought. Because, you know, it's usually your name or, you know, something associated with you, but Perspective Collective kind of caught my attention.
Well, everybody else has, like, studio or design in their name, and mine just wasn't sounding cool. It just, you know when it clicks. Well, this didn't click right away, but fun thing that kind of sucks about this name is that it's so long, Perspective-Collective, that, you know, it's really hard to design for it and fit it in places, so I always have to use some type of condensed font, so typeface. Yeah, it's hard, or I have to find, like, ways to tuck in collective if I'm doing it script. So I didn't realize the design challenges it was going to present me, but I guess constraints breed creativity, but
which is true. So trying to build this thing, I know, you know, what would you say was the greatest struggle in trying to build this?
I mean, people can believe in you all day. People can want it for you all day. But at the end of the day, like, if you don't believe in yourself or see the potential you have, then, I mean, I don't see you getting very far. So the hardest thing for me was to actually see that I had this potential, I had what it takes. Not everybody needs to love me and love my work. Like, that was a hard thing. I like to call it, you can't make everyone happy. You are not pizza. And my whole life, I thought I needed to be pizza. And if you didn't like me or like my work, then I wasn't worthwhile. So.
That's deep.
Yeah. So believing in myself was, like, it's right behind you, right there in your lettering right there. Only believe. And you got to believe in yourself. It starts with you. So, I mean, catching a feature on Instagram when I was just messing around throwing some lettering out like 4 years ago totally allowed me to see that little small glimpse of potential. And, you know, finally catching my break and getting a job after 3 years, you know, both kind of happened at the same time. I landed a break with a job. I caught a little bit of a feature, mm-hmm. and it gave me some validation, and I've just been running with it since.
Awesome. Because I know, like, we all kind of struggle with that, especially when we're trying to get our footprint out. And it's like, does anybody like it? Who likes it? You know what
I mean? Is anybody even listening? Right. And honestly, in the beginning, no one's going to pay attention. Like, nobody notices you in the beginning. And that's, like, the hardest thing is putting out your best, pouring your soul into something when no one's listening. Like, that's the hardest thing. You know, hardest thing is to start, but the next hardest thing is to, like, keep pushing through and believing in yourself. And over time, you'll attract the right people to it. So sticking with it.
Which, that's the part I think I'm starting to catch fire to, is, like, attracting the right people. And I think that's probably the most important thing. Like, speak a little about that, like, getting the right people around you.
All right. Getting the right people around you, what is it? You're the sum of the five people that are closest to you. You know, I believe, I paraphrase that, but that's from Jim Rome. And I totally believe that's true. That's why I started going to these conferences. To get around like-minded people, people who are doing what I want to do, or people that are going the direction I want to go. And that radically changed everything and got me into these circles and building the relationships with the right people. But also attracting the right people to your brand instead of trying to please everyone and, you know, creating for the masses. I like to call it staying in your own lane and, you know, creating work that's true to yourself, that you think is dope and that you're enthusiastic about. And when you stay in your own lane, you're going to attract like-minded people when you pour your heart, your soul, your DNA, your experiences, all that into your work and keep it true to yourself. That's going to attract those same people who are aligned with their mindset with you. So, again, surrounding yourself with the right people and staying in your own lane is how I felt I've attracted the right type of people into my life that have helped me on my creative path.
True. So with that being said, like, who would you say is your core, that group of people that you say, you know what I mean, that's your support system when you need to pull energy, your peoples?
Obviously, number one is my wife. Like, she puts the collective within Perspective Collective. She's what helped makes the engine go. Obviously, my family, but those are kind of cop-out answers. So I would say my circle is some of the people I think you've actually interviewed, but I have a little mastermind group with people like Scott Biersack, Dan Lee's actually in it, Bob Ewing, and Eric Friedenson. That dude always knows how to put me in check. And Terrence Terrence Tang, Tinland Studio, Daniel Palacios. Like, those are probably my core circle. And then locally in my hometown, I don't know if you ever heard of the dude Joey Bearbauer. His art is fantastic on Instagram, but like, he's a local guy that him and I got hooked into lettering at the same time. And then outside of that circle is people like Diane Gibbs, Lenny Terenzi, Mike Jones. Like, that's just another circle I can tap into when I need a pick me up. So there's all different types of circles that I know of, people who can keep me accountable, people that can provide me a boost or a lift.
And knowing some of those people, I think they have the perfect collection of being able to push you and help you succeed at the same time. It's like, I think like the people that you've named, some, I know some of them, and they kind of just have that combination of like pushing you, but at the same time, they're gonna help you succeed.
Mm-hmm. It's a fine balance of like empathetic responses, encouragement, but also being completely open and transparent, and knowing that you can take, maybe sometimes it's harsh criticism. Like my boy Eric Friedenson, that dude can be cold, but at the same time, he can be the biggest encourager. But he has no problem of speaking his mind, and sometimes like we need that. Right. You may not. He'll say the things you don't want to hear, but you need to hear. And that's why I need to keep people like that closer. Even if it stings a little bit or it pisses me off for a second, I know it's coming from a good place. So, you know, it's and we're all stubborn people. Like,
right.
Yeah, we're stubborn, but it's things I need to hear. So, again, perspective, collective, keep an open mind. And, you know, maybe not everyone's right, but, again, I'm not always right.
So how did you kind of develop that, I guess, that humble mindset? Because I mean, not to toot your own, but you kind of blown up, bro.
Oh god. It's funny the perception you have of yourself and the perception other people have of you, because man, I would never say that. Honestly, I still had that little chunky fourth grader with glasses, braces, and a bowl cut, and rocked his first pair of JNCOs when they weren't cool. Like that little dude who got picked on still lives within me. So it's like, I remember what it was like to like want to be popular and want to be cool and have people like beat you up and pick on you. And I remember what it was like to put my art out there and hear crickets. I remember what it was like to want to quit on my dream because it felt like it wasn't going anywhere. So like all those moments, like they feel like they were just yesterday. So I always keep that in mind. At the same time, that keeps me grounded, but then again, it keeps me hungry as hell, just driven, very internally driven from all those experiences, and hopes that if someone like you are dealing with the same thing, like, here, let me share my journey. Like, this has been far from perfect. It'll never be perfect, and, you know, I'm just trying to share what works for me, what doesn't work for me, and at the same time, not get too full of myself, because, man, I feel like I haven't done anything yet.
I feel you on that, because I mean, I struggle with that sometimes. It's just like, you just, what I've learned and through books and stuff like that, like, little by little, I've just tried to block out all the noise. Like, just stop worrying about what the next person thinks or, you know, how it looks to someone else. Just being true to who I am or who I want to represent as a family man and stuff like that. So,
I mean, and we got enough going on in the world right now, or we all deal with comparison, but truly, if you can win like the battle inside, like waging the war inside your head each day, like focus on that. Like, you got to focus on yourself first over everything. And, you know, I think your art and your happiness stems from that place.
True.
You know, getting your own self right and stop worrying about what everyone else is doing. And that's a reminder to myself too. That's not me preaching from a platform. That's literally what I tell myself each day.
Facts. So why speaking? How did perspective creating stuff lead to speaking?
Man, that's funny. I literally am going to talk about this in next week's episode. But I think it all just came from feeling I had something more to offer the world than just a polished Instagram post. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a coaching background. Like, I coached football. Obviously, I don't anymore, so I've been having that urge to combine my passion for creating and, you know, pouring into other people with encouragement. And it all started with just blogging, you know, getting uncomfortable and pouring ideas and encouragement out there. And honestly, no one paid attention for like over 6 months easily. And I kept with it. And about a year into blogging, I was on a talk with Diane Gibbs. And I just mentioned, you know, I really want to get into speaking. I'm all about doing things that terrify me, and speaking scares me. And soon enough, like a couple of weeks later, she offered me my first speaking job. Oh. And that was like in October, and she offered me a job, a speaking gig in like February. Oh. And everything in me wanted to say no, but again, like, these are opportunities, you know. Maybe blogging is what was leading me to this. Like, my like creative intuition was nudging me on this path. And the things that scare you or terrify you that you want to say no to out of a gut reaction, you know, that's your brain. Your brain's trying to save you from doing things that scare you. And so me, man, I said yes to the opportunity. And I'm a big believer in getting uncomfortable, finding comfort within discomfort. And, you know, that's what leads you to these huge opportunities. But then when you get these opportunities, it's up to you to prepare your butt off.
Right.
And own it and deliver, and that's what happened. So I prepared, I busted my tail, and I gave the talk of my life. You know, this is way different than that class of 15 to 20 in college speech class.
Right.
And, you know, that opportunity, you know, showed me that, man, I was capable. Like, as scared as I was, like, maybe I found something else I can creatively have an outlet in. And that gave me the opportunity a month later. Mike Jones asked me last minute to speak at Creative South. So my first talk was in front of like 100, 150 people. Scary. But then my second talk was between 600 and 800 people.
Nice.
And so, man, I just got thrown right into the fire. And I believe getting uncomfortable is going to lead to those opportunities, but you got to prepare for them
right.
And own it when you get them. Because when you get them, it's your moment to shine. Like, act like every opportunity is your last.
Right, right. Awesome, man. Awesome, awesome. So, what's the correlation with this pizza deal? I see you doing pizza. What is the deal with this pizza, man?
And like
talk about passion projects.
Man, sometimes I am guilty of taking myself too seriously. And pizza has always been something like I became obsessed with pizza back in the day with Home Alone. And Home Alone and Ninja Turtles, so like Macaulay Culkin, he's like, I got a lovely cheese pizza just for me. And then the Ninja Turtles were always smashing pizza, and I'm just like, oh my god, these are my favorite things. You know, I want to be like them. So I was always drawing pizza my entire life, but I never shared it until like the last 3 years. And I'm like, man, you know, I don't really care what anybody says. As much as I love lettering, I thought I had to have this hyper-curated account. And finally, I just started throwing pizza out there, and next, I unconsciously was branding myself as the pizza dude,
right?
Which I didn't mean to do, but like, now that's just a thing, I guess. You know, it's just become a part of me, and I'm just embracing those weird quirks again, reminding myself not to take myself too seriously. And pizza reminds me to just have fun with what I'm doing, and I'm finding a niche of other people out there that just love pizza as much as I do.
Nice. I had pizza for breakfast this
morning, so
yeah, I was just, it was just kind of, it is out of nowhere. I was just like, he's doing a lot of pizza stuff.
Yeah, but I think this also, finding those things that not only, I'm not doing this to set myself apart from the rest, but I'm doing it to just pour more personality and show the human side of me instead of being, here's just the serious, because like at Creative South my first year, I felt like I was just this serious filtered version of myself. Mm. And It allows me to be a little bit more human and have fun with things and let people know that I'm actually a pretty goofy person if you get to know me.
Right.
You know, but sometimes just the audio, I don't let it always show. So pizza allows me to visually show that other side of me.
Cool. And it just kind of, it's you. I mean,
it's cheesy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? No pun intended, but
always a pun intended. Always a pun intended.
But yeah, but I mean, like, it's you, and it's, you know what I mean? It's authentic, and I mean, I dig it. I dig it 100%. So what would you say is some of your, like, your best practices since trying to grow?
Man, hands down, the best thing I can ever recommend to anybody is focusing on when you have the most willpower in a day. And I guarantee about 90% of the population, you have the most willpower in the morning. So for me, when I started getting up early, I'm a night owl. Like, I always grew up staying up super late, always drawing till like past midnight, getting up early for work and like hurrying up and rushing to work. And it kind of was stressful. But once I started writing and putting my ideas out there, you know, that takes the most willpower for me. And I have the most willpower in the mornings when I'm up before the world has time to even bug me. You know, we have so many things vying for our attention, notifications, emails, people at the day job. Like, by the time I get off work, I'm spent. I don't want to come home and, you know, try and write out a blog post and then record an episode. Like,
facts.
You know, I want to do things that I don't need as much willpower for, like drawing. Like, that's therapeutic for me.
Right.
So if I can get the big things that'll help my business move forward, like writing, editing, or doing things on my lunches, like scheduling social media posts or something like that. But like, my mornings are sacred. And then everything kind of just builds off that. It gives me so much momentum. I feel accomplished, feel productive in the morning. I get my main thing done in the morning each day. But anyway, the mornings are the secret to me.
Facts. I like that. I did the switch too, man. Like, I
get up morning?
Yeah, I was a night owl myself. I'm trying to get my wife on board, but she's still.
I feel you, man.
But I mean, everything changed for me in the morning. Everything changed for me.
Do you think that's what the biggest secret to help you get your push?
Yeah,
in
for sure.
Your creative path.
My mind is much more at peace, relaxed,
mm-hmm.
much more focused. I mean, it's hands down.
And then by the time you're getting ready for work or for your day, you're not so rushed. Okay, you've allowed yourself those open pockets of time to get yourself straight.
Yeah, I agree with that. Hands down. If I could change and get anyone to do anything, I would say get up earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And go to bed.
But yeah, I know that was probably, you were asking about practice, but for me, that starts everything off. That starts everything off for my world of Perspective Collective is getting up early in the morning.
All right, so what's next? What's next for Scotty? What's in the horizon?
What's in the horizon? All right, so I'll be speaking on a panel with Brooke Robinson from Good Type and a couple other people at Pop-Up Crop.
Nice.
So Crop's a conference held by Matt Dawson.
Yeah.
This Pop-Up Crop is just like a satellite conference. He'll be doing it about mid-year. His normal conference is around April time, a couple weeks after Creative South this last year. But so I'll be speaking on a panel at that. I'm just trying to find ways to take the podcast, my Perspective podcast, to the next level. And I really need to find time to do video. Like, you and I talked briefly before the show, but video is the future. YouTube's the future. And the thing that scares me the most is video and putting my face out there with that. It's just, I got to find the time. It's really hard with the day job and the podcast and freelance. Like, you know, the grind.
Yeah.
So that's like a legitimate thing. If I had nothing else going on, I couldn't say that I don't have the time. So this is not an excuse.
Right.
It's
right.
Just facts.
Right. Nice. So, someone is up and coming. Someone's trying to do their thing. You know, what advice would you just sincerely give them?
I'm going to give you three things real quick.
Cool.
Just because they're fresh off my mind off the talk last week at Weapons. One, you are not pizza. Like, literally, you cannot make everyone happy. Stay in your own lane. Create what's true to yourself. And, you know, focus on making yourself happy first. And, you know, eventually that'll attract other people. The second is comparison is a thief. Like, it will rob you of your joy, and everybody's on their own creative path at their own different place going to a different direction. So, like, don't compare your beginnings to someone else's middle, okay? Grind and stay in your own lane, okay? You're on your own path at your own pace. And then finally is that you have the opportunity to be the light. So we live in a very dark time right now. A lot of designers are attacking other designers. There's enough crap going on in the world as well.
Man, I seen that too, bro.
It's so sad. Like,
that, man.
Like, you have the ability to be the light, help other people be seen, pour yourself into this community, and it takes a matter of seconds out of your existence to radically change someone's day, their week, their month, their year, their career. So, like, you have that power to radically change someone's life. So don't be a silent admirer and understand that people appreciate being appreciated. So, you know, take a couple minutes out of your day and just reach out to someone. You have no idea the impact that can make.
Those are
three things: pizza, thieves, and light.
I love it, man. Man, this has been great. I mean, finally, we got to do this, and you know, I mean, I really appreciate you coming on. I know how it is. I know what the Saturday is like, especially when you got a wife. Boy. So, yep. I really appreciate you taking the time out, man.
Oh, man, I love being here. Thank you for letting me, you know, I guess ramble to your audience.
Hey, man, you definitely keep in touch.
You can follow and learn more about Scotty Russell at perspective-collective.com.
You can also stop by passionbehindtheart.com to listen to past episodes and to learn more about the project. Blessings.